Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Friday Night Football Preview with Dev Gens. I've been told that I need to introduce myself and let you know a little bit about who I am and my history with football. And so let me start with, I played a couple years of football. I played 1 year with the California Quake back in their first season. I think it was in 2000, 2001. And I believe that that league is defunct now. And then I was a part of the Long Beach Aftershock, which played in the awful league, the AWFL, for a season. I did have a comeback year, which really wasn't a success, but I played linebacker, defensive end, and then I helped manage the Aftershock for a season or two. And so I have been to my share of practices and done my share of supporting women's football, and I am happy to be sharing some thoughts with you about the two leagues that are currently running, the WFA and the IWFL. Later on this evening, we will be fortunate to have a guest, the coach of the Shreveport Aftershock, head coach Emerson, will be calling in, so we'll be having a few of his thoughts about the game this week. They play the Dallas Diamonds. First, though, I would like to give you an update on some of the games that have transpired in the WFA and give you a rundown of some of their stats. First of all, kudos to the WFA for their awesome stats. That's going to be a key to any kind of recognition we get for women's football. You've got to have your stats there. So we definitely have some offense-minded teams in the WFA. Leading the team offense would be the Indiana Speed. They have managed to accumulate, after one game, a total of 512 offensive yards. They made the 266 yards passing, which I'll go into in a second, and then were able to accumulate another 246 yards with rushing. Now, they have two quarterbacks. Cassie Longcore threw 4 for 8 and had a total of 40 yards. But the lean, mean passing machine that definitely seems to be dominating the Speed's offense is Dana Miller. She threw 14 for 34, so her rating wasn't as high as in the 50s, but she was able to get 226 yards accumulated there. And her primary receiver for 94 yards seems to be Virginia Hicks. Let me see if we've got anybody else. I don't really see anybody else that's standing out, mainly Virginia Hicks for the Speed as far as receptions go. But, boy, when you get close to 300 yards, you are definitely doing what you need to do on offense. Another team, the Comets, also have close to, they've got 450 yards. Now, most of their yardage, they accumulated through rushing. So the Comets are definitely leading the teams for rushing. Behind them in team rushing will be the Bells with 373 yards, the Thunder with 300 yards. So we've got three teams that are over that 300 mark. The Comets are the only team that's over the 400 mark in rushing. I talked about the Indiana Speed. The Barracudas, from the Emerald Coast Barracudas, have also topped the 200 mark in passing. They have 256 yards of passing. So accumulated over 300 yards. They have a total of 354 yards. So right after the Speed or the Barracudas as far as passing. So you've got, let's see, a total of 5 teams in the WFA that have surpassed the 200-yard mark, but not over the 300-yard mark. The Cyclones are at 285 yards. The Showgirls have 262 yards. The Speed, again, with 246. The Slam have 224, and the Assault round that 5 in the 200 marks with 214 yards. That gives our total team offense, teams that are over 300 yards are that group. So we got the Speed with 512 there at the top. The Comets have 458. The Thunder have 444 yards. The Bells with 436. The Cyclones have 381. The Mayhem have 365. The Barracudas have 354. And then the Slam, 322. And finally, the Assault have accumulated 316 yards. So we are definitely looking at some teams that are ripping it up there as far as accumulating some offense. When we look at head-to-head competition this week, the Indiana Speed will be playing the Fort Wayne Flash. Now, my personal opinion is they'll probably top the Flash by about 21 points. Probably one of the better games is going to be between the Emerald Coast Barracudas and the Memphis Belles. The Belles are slightly higher, about 80 yards over the Barracudas as far as total accumulation. So the Belles and the Barracudas is probably one of the top games. If we just go by offense, we think the Belles have it, but when we look at the defense, we're going to see that the Belles have a pretty good defense. They've got a couple of hitters that are on the top 20 for tackles. They've got three different girls that have some sacks, that have sacks actually. So the Bells' defense is probably going to be outstanding. So not only are they a little bit above the Barracudas as far as team offense, but they look to have a very strong defense. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Bells in that game. As far as the Keystone Assault playing the Tiger Cats, those two teams, it's going to be sort of a toss-up there. The Philadelphia Liberty Bells, I'm going to get those two teams confused all year, the Memphis Bells and then the Liberty Bells, but Liberty Bells are playing the Baltimore Burn, and those two teams don't seem to rate exceptionally high as far as team offense. And when you look over at the defense, we're not seeing as much on either one of them. New Jersey Titans are going to play the Connecticut Cyclones. And I'm going to go with the Cyclones on that one. Now, that's the Cyclones, which is different from the Houston Cyclones. So there's a Connecticut Cyclones, and then there's a Hotown Cyclones. And the Houston team is definitely going to be one of the strong contenders, but the Connecticut team seems to not be ranking up there quite as high in the stats. So make sure we don't get those two confused. The Cincinnati Sizzle and the Kentucky Karma. I suppose you ought to go with Karma just so you don't get any bad karma. But the Kentucky Karma seem to have racked up a little bit higher stats this past week. They were able to accumulate 192 yards, so we're going to go with them in that particular matchup. The Pittsburgh Force is going to be playing the Cleveland Fusion at the Fusion Field, and for that particular game, we're going to go with the Fusion. They were able to top that 200-yard mark, so we're going to go with the Fusion on that one. I've already given my prediction for the Indiana Speed. I'm going to say they're going to take the game against the Fort Wayne Flash by 21. The West Michigan Mayhem are going to be in Toledo playing the Rain. Let me check out the stats on the Rain here. Don't see too much from the Rain as far as offense, and we've already talked about the Mayhem. They've accumulated 365 yards, a combination of passing for 177 yards and then 188 yards rushing. So it looks like they have a very balanced attack. So the Mayhem are definitely a team to watch, and will probably take the reins fairly easily. I do have a way for you to reach me by email. I'm not going to give you the address at this point in time, but we'll make sure you know that. If you're on the blog site, you'll be able to get it off of that. And if you're on there, it'll be easy for you to look at it than to hear me say it anyway. The Blaze will be playing against the Gulf Coast Riptide there at the Riptide Field. The Blaze were able to accumulate 59 yards rushing and 54 yards passing. So the Blaze has topped that 100 yard mark. And the Riptide have not been able to accumulate too much on the stats chart, so we're going to go with the Blaze on that particular game. Playing in Missouri, the Phoenix will host the St. Louis Slam, and it looks like the Slam have a slight advantage in that game. The Minnesota Machine versus the Iowa Thunder. And that game's a little bit difficult for me to call. I'm not familiar with those two teams, and we have a limited amount of stats posted for those two teams when we're looking at the top 20. If you haven't looked at the actual WFA website for the stats, let me just give you a rundown. They have a full rundown of the top 20 in every area. They got the top 20 in rushing, the top 20 in passing. They've got the top 20 in total yards. They have individual passers. The other quarterback to watch, there are basically three main quarterbacks to watch. I talked about Dana Miller from the Indiana Speed. Megan Johnson from the Barracudas is almost at the 200 mark. And then a third, Jody Marquette from the Mayhem, has 160 yards. So this league's definitely got a lot of very strong quarterbacks, and three of them are really close to having 200 yards, if not surpassing a 200-yard mark, which is an accomplishment. You get any quarterback in the NFL that could get you 200 yards a game in your stack. So besides those, there's individual rushing, individual receiving. They've got catches and yards. They differentiate that. They do have a little section for penalties. In the defensive statistics, we've got to mention Cindy Pearson for the Thunder. She raked up 18 tackles. Veronica Rucker for the Fusion racked up 17. Another player for the Thunder, Jennifer, Hirakawa, I believe, had 14 tackles. For the Mayhem, their tackles, Bea Hamlin, I believe, had 13 tackles. Melody Peterson from the Lynx had 12. Tessa Kernsteiner from the Flash also had 12. It looks like there are seven more teams with over 10 tackles. Melissa Grimes from the Thunder, Tara Marble from the Flash, Angela Schrader from the Thunder, and Cindy Taft from the Thunder. Those girls all had 11 tackles. Correction, Cindy Taft from the Thunder only had 10. That's still a good stat. Sharon Tanum from the Bells, Jennifer Plummer from the Mayhem, Sarah Jones with the Karma all had 10 tackles. So we have some lean, mean tackling machines. We've got some tackles for a loss. There's a top 20 there. Individual sacks, the top 20. Jennifer Hirakawa from the Thunder, 3 sacks. And tackles for a loss, it looks like the Slam were in there with 3 different girls having tackles for a loss. Elizabeth Williams had 4 different tackles for a loss. Kelly Coslin with 4 tackles for a loss from the Slam. And then Toyana Smith with 3 tackles for a loss for the Slam. So Slammer slamming people right and left. And we have several in the top 20 for interceptions, all racking up 1 interception. I'm not going to go through that, but if you're interested in interceptions, forced fumbles. Again, we see the Thunder with that excellent defense. Aaron Wilson had a tackle or a forced fumble. Thunder also, for pass deflections, there were two different players with three pass deflections. Rachel Stoka and Teresa Moss, both for the Thunder, had three. And then fumble recoveries, the Cyclones, the Hotown Cyclones, it's the S. Raven, had two fumble recoveries. The Slam recorded a blocked punt or a blocked kick with Toya Brown, and then the Speed also, Mariah McLaren Allen, had a blocked punt or a kick. So we've got tremendous stats available for the WFA, and we've had this discussion, a number of friends of mine, and I'm sure you're familiar with DJ, Women's Football Talk, and I'm telling you, you can't get anywhere publicizing teams or leagues unless you've got a consistent stat record, so kudos to the WFA for that. Back to the head-to-head matchups, we've got the Austin Outlaws and the Lone Star Mustangs. I'm going to go with the Outlaws on this one. The California Lynx are headed to play the Devils, the Marana She Devils, and it's looking like the Lynx may take that one. And then finally, the Houston Cyclones will be playing the East Texas Sabercats, and the Cyclones, I believe, will take that by a couple of touchdowns. So it's looking like we've got some really good head-to-head matches. Like I said, the game that I would say would be the game to try and follow would be the Barracudas versus the Bells. That's going to be played in Memphis. If you're anywhere near that game and you're a fan of women's football, head that direction. That quarterback for the Barracudas, Megan Johnson, really close to the to the 200 mark, and then the Bells have two quarterbacks actually that have racked up around 50 yards. Primary attack by the Bells is definitely rushing. Let's see if I can find the player that's individual player. The Jessica Plunkett for the Bells had 154 yards. Now the top rusher overall was Jennifer Bowling, and she plays for the Thunder. She had 200 yards. The Comets player, Shelly Gate, had 151 yards. Kiva Thomas for the Speed had 140 yards. Another rusher for the Comets was Breanne Martin. Let me look again. Oh, the Comets were the team that had the 400 yards. Okay, that makes sense. They've probably got another one up there. That's one, two. Yeah, down a little bit lower, Aisha Jones with 89 yards. So the Comets definitely are a running team. Another three players were able to tally up over 100 yards rushing. Nashira Johnson for the Titans had 108 yards. Megan Eagle for the Thunder, 104 yards. And Shmika Finks for the Showgirls had 100 yards. In the 90s were another four girls, Martina Latessa from the Fusion had 98 yards, nothing to shake a stick at. The Houston Cyclones, Chandler, racked up 97 yards. And Kalisha Battles for the Barracudas had 94 yards. When we go back to the receiving yardage, Whitney Palmer for the Barracudas topped the catches with 121 yards. She had 7 catches. Lisa King for the Lynx had 6 catches for 82 yards. And then the Barracudas had a second girl with 5 catches for 56 yards, and that was Deborah LaFrance. Yardage as far as racking up just yardage, not necessarily how many catches, we had Virginia Hicks for the Indiana Speed with 94 yards, and then we had Chantal Robertson for the Mayhem with 87. Lisa King, she had the 6 catches and had 87 yards. Cadets for the Houston Cyclones had a total of 81 yards. Now, unfortunately, and we might have seen a little bit closer game, the Showgirls Las Vegas Showgirls, racked up quite a few penalties, over 100 yards in penalties. So hopefully we'll see a little bit better production from the Showgirls, and they can turn that penalty box around. They still beat the Lynx 19-6, but my goodness, with that many penalty yards, you could just imagine how many yards they put up there if they didn't have those negative yardage going against them. The standings for the first week's play, the Assault were at the Philadelphia Field for playing against the Liberty Bells, and the Liberty Bells took that game 47-24. The Connecticut Cyclones hosted the Baltimore Burn, and that game the Burn was able to take with a score of 6-0. The New Jersey Titans hosted the Tiger Cats and were able to rack up 21. The Tiger Cats went scoreless. So that was a win for the Titans. Kentucky Karma traveled to Cleveland to play the Fusion. They lost that game to the Fusion. Karma had 14 and the Fusion had 38. The Columbus Comets hosted the Pittsburgh Force. The Columbus Comets annihilated the Force 49-0. The West Michigan Mayhem pretty much annihilated the Fort Wayne Flash. They hosted that game and were able to put 41 points up to the Flash's donut, unfortunately. The Indiana Speed scored 62 against the Dayton Diamonds, who racked up 8 points, and that was at the Indiana Field. The Memphis Belles scored 46 points against the New Orleans Blaze, Blaze of 7, and that was played in Memphis. The Emerald Coast Barracudas scored 16. The Jacksonville Dixie Blues scored 64. Now, I don't remember the Dixie Blues being on the staff as much, and I'll have to go back and look at that. They scored a lot of points for not being on the staff. They must have had a pretty well-rounded scoring team. The Slam scored 77 against the Kansas City Storms, 0, and that game was played in Kansas City. The Outlaws beat the Houston Cyclones 40-34 there in Houston. Vegas Showgirls, I said already, beat the Lynx 19-6 there in Las Vegas. And the Marana She Devils were scoreless against the Phoenix Prowlers, who scored 6. That game was played in Marana. And finally, the East Texas Sabercats scored 0, hosting the Lone Star Mustangs, who scored 6. So that wraps up this portion of Friday Night Football Preview, and that's the section for the WFA, and we will return shortly to host our guest, and that will be Coach Emerson from the Shreveport Aftershock. So come back for that, and we'll be discussing the IWFL and how their week 3 is going to look this week. So I'll be back shortly. Thank you very much. Well, my clock reads about 7:23, and so that means we've got 7 minutes until Coach E reports in. We are live, and I can give you a score from the IWFL, so we'll begin with that. The Palm Beach Punishers played the Miami Fury tonight. Miami Fury beats the Punishers 44-0. That game was played tonight as opposed to the Saturday schedule. I believe it was due to a scheduling issue, so that game is complete and done, and I'm sure the Punishers are probably happy about that. So due to a scheduling issue with the field, they played a Friday night game instead of a Saturday game. So that was on the IWFL schedule. Other games that will be played this week, we've already mentioned the Aftershock will be playing the Diamonds in Dallas. The Amazons will be facing the Breakers. And that game will be held here in California regardless, because the Amazons and the Breakers are both California teams. The Crush will be playing the Warriors. The Crushers are playing the Firebirds. The Divas play the Demolition. The Energy will be playing the Mayhem team. The Force playing the Vixens. The Locomotion will be playing the Explosion. The Menace will be playing the Quake. And the Militia will be playing the Sharks. And we have the oh my goodness, I can't even read that team there. The Nemesis is playing the Blitz. The Nighthawks will be playing the Pittsburgh Passion. The Nightmare plays against the Fox. The Queens will play against the Justice. The Rebels against the Hurricanes. The Shockwaves will be playing against the Pride. The Sirens and the Majestics, that'll be a really great game in the Western Conference. The Thunder will be facing the Tigers, and the Vipers will be playing the Freedom. I do have a couple of updates also. There are four teams that that I did mention in my WFA section. The Sabercats, the Oklahoma City team, the Connecticut Cyclones, and then there's one other team. Let me see if I can figure out who it is. Anyway, there's four teams all together that have withdrawn from the WFA that will not be playing this season. So they're in the process, I guess, of updating their website. I was not privy to that information until our fearless leader, BJ, let me in on that little secret. So we are giving you updates as we speak. The fourth team is the She Devils. There it is. I'm having to go back in our little chat room here. And that's the Marana She Devils. BJ, you're just typing away, and thanks for the information. So when we look at the WFA, that drops us down a few teams, but hopefully they'll be updating the website so that we have complete information. BJ and I have been talking a lot this week about the importance of statistics, and I tell you, if you don't keep your websites up, people across the country have really no other way. We don't get a whole lot of publicity. We don't get newspaper articles. We don't get TV, so we've got to keep our websites and our statistics up to date. And I still am going to give the WFA a lot of kudos because they just have so much information available. So hopefully they'll stick with that. So we've got about three more minutes until we get to speak with the coach of the Aftershock. So let me give you a rundown of some of the games that I'm anxious to find out how they go. One of the premier games that I see for this week would be the Nighthawks and the Passion. The Nighthawks are a Tier 1 team, and they're facing the Pittsburgh Passion. Now, both of those teams are in the Eastern Conference in the Mid-Atlantic Division. The Nighthawks are 1-1. Their loss came against a Tier 1 team. The Passion have played one game, so they're 1-0. that game, I think, is probably going to be one of the better games of the week. Probably maybe the best game of the week is going to be in the Western Conference. The Pac Northwest is going to play the Pac Southwest, the Sirens, and the Majestic. Both of those teams are 2-0, seem to be fairly well suited to play one another, and I'm going to be anxious to find out who's the victor in that one. Third game that we will probably be needing to keep an eye on will be the Divas and the Demolition. The Divas are 1-0. The Demolition are 1-1. The Demolition won their game against a Tier 2 team, so I would pick the Divas to take that game, but I still think it'll be a pretty good game to watch. The Midwest division of the Western Conference, the Force, are 2-0 playing the Vixen that are 0-1, so I believe the Force are going to take that one. There's a couple of games that are going to be broadcast. The New York Sharks versus the Boston Militia. That game you'll be able to tune into www.blogtalkradio.com, WFN Radio, and listen to that game. And then the DC Divas and Detroit Demolition game, that game will be at www.ussportsradio.com. So a couple of games for you to be able to actually hear. Another pretty good game for us to keep an eye on will definitely be the Amazons and the Breakers. My pick for that game is the Amazons. I imagine they'll probably take that by a couple of touchdowns. Coach E will be on here in a short time, and the Aftershock are going to be facing the Dallas Diamonds. So we'll be looking to see what he says about that game. The Aftershock are a pretty strong Tier 2 team, and they're playing the Diamonds. The Diamonds are 2-0. The Aftershock have a 1-0 record so far. That game, we will be hearing in-depth prediction from the coach. It'll be interesting to see how strong that Aftershock team will be. The Aftershock have a roster of 22. Dallas, we know, is a powerhouse with a roster of 45. So it will be interesting to see just how Coach E is preparing his Shreveport Aftershock to fight off the Diamonds there in Dallas. That game will be held in Dallas. And so we're just kind of waiting for Coach E to call in, see what he has to say about the team. I did a little research on the Dallas Diamonds coach and found that this is his first season. For those of you that are unaware of it, the Diamonds have played football for a number of seasons, pretty much one of the premier teams of the WPFL, which is a league that's folded now, and have the same coach for approximately six seasons and just decided to retire. There was no conflict or anything, but as we all know, schedules are demanding, and he decided to retire. And so with this new season, they have a brand new coach. Their coaching staff has a total of nine people. They've got a head coach, an assistant coach, a defensive coordinator, an offensive line coach, a defensive line coach, a D-backs coach, a receiver, a running backs coach, and then an additional two people that are just in charge of strength and conditioning. And when the Diamonds were getting ready to find a new coach, they had like four people trying to get the position. I know my history is that we didn't ever have multiple coaches trying for a head coaching position, and sometimes we had one or two coaches at practice. Once in a while we had five or six, but having nine different people working with the team is pretty amazing. There in Shreveport, Coach E has a coaching staff of four people. One thing I did want to mention, and I'm going to ask Coach E about his perspective on this, is that both Diamonds and the Aftershock have the good fortune of having a female as part of their coaching staff. So I'm going to get his opinion to see if there's a different flair from the female coaches or if it's if they're a big addition to the coaching staff, having a female perspective since they're coaching the females. So, but back to the Diamonds coach, he played college football and decided after a final season that was not a favorable experience that he was going to go into a coaching. So sometimes we learn more from the difficult situations than we do from the positive ones, but that definitely brought him to coach. We're not sure exactly why Coach Emerson from Shreveport has decided to take on this wonderful job of coaching all of these girls, but we'll find out shortly. Now, I do have a few headliners from the IWFL site that I can share with you. Let me make sure I'm talking about the IWFL here. Yes. We have the Diamonds who beat the Fuel in a game, 27-0. Now, I took that regular score and put that up against the Shreveport team, the Aftershock, when they played Dallas. And when I calculated all the stats, that only put them as an underdog to Dallas by one touchdown. However, I was not aware of the fact that the game was called a little bit early because of a rain issue. So weather interfered with that. So we might have a bigger spread than what I was looking at. But the Diamonds and the Aftershock did have one common team that they both played. So when the Aftershock played the Fuel from Louisiana, they let me see if I have what I put that score at. Well, anyway, Diamonds only won by a score of 27-0. I think it was 13-21. I have to go back and look at my information here, but I was wrong. That's not going to be accurate information anyway, because that game between the Fuel and the Diamonds was called a little bit early since there was a rain situation. I can't say too much about statistics for the IWFL. They do have a fairly consistent information about the schedules and the standings. Their standings is very complete, but when we look at the individual player statistics, they're just not as thorough as the WFA. You can go into the WFA and immediately find out which team has racked up the most rushing, the most passing, the total team offensive yards, individual passing. So that's one of the reasons I was able to give you so many statistics and give you some exact breakdowns of the teams. Unfortunately, when we look at the IWFL standings, we only really can register statistics as far as a whole game situation. There are no individual statistics. Beyond that, we've got a total of about 18 teams who have not even put in any game statistics at all. So kudos to a few teams that, well, I guess it's probably about half and half of the IWFL teams are reporting some statistics. I would like to take this opportunity to stop yakking on and introduce to you Coach Emerson of the Shreveport Aftershock. Coach Emerson, welcome to Friday Night Football Preview. It's great to have you on the show.
How are y'all doing?
We're doing just fine. That's my bulldog and I. If you hear a bark in the background, Coach, that's my bulldog, and he's not happy because I put him outside. So, but welcome to the show. How has your week? Good, good. How's your week of preparation going?
Well, we had this past weekend off, so we've had 2 weeks of preparation for Dallas. So it's long and strenuous right now. We're trying to put in a couple of different schemes here and there, and just try to prepare to, you know, to put on the best show we can on Saturday and see what happens.
Yeah, well, you know, you would definitely have enjoyed my prediction because I just looked at some numbers and threw them together and had you just an underdog by one touchdown, but I forgot about the rain delay. So,
yeah,
but I'm going to go ahead and root for you anyways, if that's okay.
that's fine with us.
All right. Why don't you give me a picture of who are the standouts for your team so far this season, Coach? What are we looking at?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, are you a defensive-minded coach or an offensive-minded coach?
Well, I'm an offensive-minded coach. I work with the offense, and I've got an outstanding defensive coordinator and an outstanding special teams coordinator, so they take that load off my shoulders. And then I'm kind of training a former player to step in and take on the offense with me, so then I can focus more on the actual head coaching aspect of the whole deal. But right now we look pretty good. We've got some stuff stored away for these bigger teams that we're playing, and hopefully we can execute some of them against Dallas. And there's a lot of stuff that we didn't run in the first game that we'll be running in the game tomorrow. I'm the kind of coach, I don't want to give it all to you at one time. I kind of want to develop different kinds of plays and new schemes as we go along. But got a new defense going in and got a little bit fairly new offense going in, so we'll see how it does.
All right. Now, you mentioned that you're a training a coach. Would that be Coach Floyd?
Yeah. Yeah, Coach Floyd played wide receiver for us last year and decided she wanted to come on the coaching side of the whole deal. So I had her with the wide receivers at first, and I'm gradually working her in there where, you know, she can start calling some plays, getting her feet wet with the offense. And you know, because there's a lot more than just the receivers and the passing aspect of the offense. You know, you still got to run the ball. You still got to establish a run game. You still got to know what the offensive line's doing, what the fullback and running back's doing on the pass play. You got to know every aspect of the offense. So I'm trying to get her feet wet with all that and trying to stick her in different places when I can. But for the most part, I'm going to be working with her, and she's going to be watching personnel on the field, and I'll be watching watching personnel. We'll both be calling plays.
And then Coach Henry Henry Wesley, he's your defensive coordinator.
Well, we've got a new defensive coordinator. It's Coach Bob Boyd. He he came over from the East Texas SaberCats, and he's came in the last 2 weeks and took over the defense, and he's got a brand new scheme for the Dallas game, and I'm sure you know the scheme will change each week depending on what kind of personnel our opponents got. So he's got a pretty good scheme that I think is going to work. I have complete faith in him and that defense. So we'll try to see how many times they can give us that ball back so we can try to put some points on the board.
Yeah, you got to have the ball to do that.
That's going to be an
experience to have a brand new defense with only 2 weeks to work on it.
Yeah.
But that will be a nice surprise to face up with Dallas with some new things in your pocket.
Right. Yeah, and you know the thing about it is you want to try to make up new schemes and new plays. And all the girls that are playing this game, they're smart enough to learn new stuff each week. And you know your opponent's going to watch your game film each week. Your previous game films against other opponents, and we've only played one against the Fuel, and a lot of teams send scouts to the games and they watch the game film, so. You know, I don't want to be so predictable that, you know, they know what we're going to run every play. So we switch it up, and we have a couple different offensive sets and a lot of plays to go along with each offensive set. So, you know, and the defense is going to change week by week based on what they do. So, you know, we prepare. It's a little mini season in between each game is really what it is, because you got to learn new things each week.
Yeah, well, you know, they stuck me on defense because they said I wasn't smart enough to work out as far as an offensive player. But if you were changing things up every week, I might be riding your bench if I was playing for you. Let me ask you a couple of questions, Coach. You said that you brought a coach in from the SaberCats. Were you guys able to pick up any of their players as well?
We did. We picked up, I think we got a total of 6 of their players right now. And you know, hopefully more will come over.
Right.
So
I looked at your roster, and the one that is available on the internet, I counted about 22 players. So would you say that you're just under 30, or is that fairly accurate? What are your numbers right now, sir?
We're 23 right now on the roster.
23?
Uh-huh.
So you probably got quite a few players that are playing both ways, as well as special teams. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. There's some of our players that don't come off the field, really. You know, we try to take them off of a special team if we can, like a punt or a punt return here and there. But the majority of our players play both ways. So, you know, a big part of our practice time is conditioning. And so we try to get out there and run as much as possible to get that stamina up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of people don't realize that, you know, in the NFL, they've got 2 or 3 people deep every position, plus a separate squad for special teams. And here
right.
in women's football, sometimes we've got girls who don't even come off the field the entire game. So,
right.
you know, you just have so much of a demand on these athletes. Getting back to you, sir, what's your football experience? Did you start out as a player and then move into coaching after college, or what's been your background, just so we know a little bit more about Coach Emerson, the guy?
Well, my playing experience ended at high school. I played offensive and defensive line in high school, and I went on, and right out of high school, I volunteer coached at another high school that was actually our arch rival. So got my feet wet in that and worked my way up from coaching the offensive line on the JV squad to assistant head coach on the varsity. And then I came out here to Texas and took over a semi-pro team and worked a year in high school ball over here. And then that kind of led me over here to the women's team in Shreveport. I figured, you know, it's a challenge. It's something that I wanted to try once. So I went ahead and signed on with them, and it's been worth it so far. You know, you have your ups and your downs. You got to start from scratch here and there, but but I like the challenge that's been working.
So your coaching experience then might be greater than your playing experience. Is that how many years did you play as opposed to how many years you coached? Coach? Well, it looks like I may have lost him. I don't know. Maybe I asked the wrong question. Hopefully we'll get Coach E back on here. He may have some dinner plans or maybe a movie, scouting a film. I'm not really sure. So we'll just head on over to a little bit of the information we have about the IWFL. I'll get you. Oh, here, I hear he's back. Coach, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I thought maybe you had some dinner plans or something.
No, I'm on the way home from making that long journey back to Texas from our pregame walkthrough, so I just kind of hit a dead spot.
Oh, okay. How far away do you live from your team there? Because the team's actually in Shreveport, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's right on the right inside of Louisiana. I live in Henderson, so I got to go over to the west and then go south. I'm about between 80 and 85 miles away. So I drive, about an hour and a half.
Oh, wow. Boy, that's a commute. Now, I'm guessing one of your arch rivals is the Louisiana Fuel. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now how far away are the two of you? Like when teams travel back and forth, how far apart are you guys?
Depending on where we play, we've played at a couple of different stadiums with them. The longest we've been is 6 hours.
Wow. That's a little mm-hmm. further than I thought. But I guess if you guys are right near Texas, then it wouldn't be that far.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that game you guys played against the Fuel, that score was 18-32. Now, is that a fairly accurate showing of how you guys felt you did, or did you, I mean, it's only a 14-point spread. Was that
yeah,
a pretty close game?
Well, I'll give it to Baton. I mean, Baton Rouge got a lot of talent. They got a lot of speed, a lot of talent, a lot more, a lot of different things than they ran from last year, so they caught us by surprise a couple of times. It was a good game. But I think we could have played a lot better. We had about a 5-minute stretch in the second half there where we kind of just went dumbfounded on offense, and it ended up being, like second 30 on one of our drives before we knew it with some bad snaps and some stupid mistakes, false starts, and things like that. But we played decent for the first game. Going into that first game, you don't ever know what you're going to expect.
Uh-huh.
So,
did you lose any personnel due to injury in that game?
We did. We had a couple of people go down with some knee injuries. The biggest loss was the quarterback, Cassie Newell. She went down with a torn ACL. So, we're having to work our backup in there, and she's doing a phenomenal job. And I hope Cassie gets to rehabbing that knee and gets better.
Well, I happen to know she's listening to this, so she's going to appreciate the kind words there. It's always unfortunate when you lose some personnel due to the injury. It's
right.
Frustrating, but we wish the best for her. Now, that particular game, that was the first game you played this season. This is, I think, the third season the Aftershock have been in the league as opposed to the fifth season for the Fuel. So they've been around a little longer. Have you been the coach all three of their seasons? Well, I guess this is the third, so they've had two previous seasons.
Yeah, this is my second year with them, and last year going 4-4 was our best season to date. So we're looking to, the season's still young this year, so we're trying to beat that record we had last year and keep progressively getting better each year. Baton Rouge has been in this league for a while. And they're gonna do great things too. So I have complete faith in them. We're, with any kind of rivalry, you're your enemies on the field, but then, you know, after the game, you're kind of laid back and y'all go out together and spend some time with each other, you know, talk on the phone, things like that. But I wish them the best of luck, and we'll see them again. I think at the end of May they come back up here, so it'll be another good game.
Yeah. How many of your players do you have returning from last season, Coach? Is this a build? I mean, when you've got a roster of 20 people, it's constantly rebuilding, but did you have quite a few veterans coming back, or what's your status with that, returning players and such?
Yeah, we had 13 veterans come back. We lost a good bit of people last year, some rookies and some veterans have been with us since the first day. So, you know, each year you're going to build on your rookies and put a lot on their shoulders as us being a small team like we are. You're gonna put a lot of stuff on your rookie shoulders. That's why we try to get them in there early to try to learn the system. But anytime you lose veterans, and it gets harder and harder. But we just keep on pushing.
Yeah. Now the surrounding area there, how large of a metropolis are you drawing from in that particular area? Do you pull a lot of people in from Texas as well as from the Shreveport area, or where all do you pull your players from?
Yeah, we have, I think we have 8 players coming from Texas, from East Texas, and myself. And then, you know, the year before I took over the reins over there, they had, I think, 10 players coming from the Monroe area. So,
wow.
So they were driving, you know, two hours down, 2 hours back. Just to play some football down there, but we go all the way down as far as Manny, Louisiana, and hopefully next year, you know, when we start our recruiting and all that, we can go as far as Hope, Arkansas, up north.
Yeah, when I played, I lived up in the mountains, and I drove 100 miles from my door to the field, so. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you love football, it doesn't matter how far you drive. You just make the trip, and it's, you know, we carpool. Do you have groups of girls that can carpool?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of girls that meet up at different spots in East Texas and things like that, and they'll all carpool to practice.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard some stories. There's a lot of craziness that happens in those carpools.
Oh, yeah.
We've had flat tire stories and all kinds of different things. I don't know if there's anybody out there that is curious about emailing the show. Let me put in a little blip here, Coach, if I can do that. If you're interested in asking a question or anything, what you need to do is write to Deb at FridayNightFootballPreview.com. So my name, Deb, D-E-B, at FridayNightPreviewFootball.com. We haven't had any questions yet. This is only the second week of the show, but anything you want to ask Coach E, we can get that to him. We're kind of winding down a little bit here, Coach. Is there anything that you can say about your team that you haven't been able to say so far during the show?
Well, you know, it's not just my team. It's every team, really. These girls put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of sweat, blood, and tears into this thing. So, you know, they need all the support that they can get. And really, they're fiending for that kind of support, you know, from their communities or their family or friends or whatever. So, you know, if you know somebody that's playing women's football, you need to go up and shake their hand, because they're doing something great.
Well, Coach, you're doing something great, giving them the expertise that you have, and it's been a really great experience getting to find out what your take is on the game. So you say that the offense is going to make the difference for you this week when you play Dallas, huh?
Well, we'll try to work on all three cylinders: special teams, defense, and offense. But I think the defense will come together, and the offense will start making some plays, and we'll see what happens.
I was always on the defense, and grew to be the nearest and dearest thing in my heart, but I'm going to give it to you. You know, if you've got your whole tri defecto thing going on, Coach, good luck to you. We wish you the best. Beat the Diamonds. And I'm not sure how much time we have left, but I really appreciate you joining us. Have safe travels back to your team. I played against Dallas, so it'd make me very happy if you could put a few dents in their armor.
We'll do our best.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much for being on the show.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, so we are winding down with our Friday Night Football preview, and let me just recap for you the games that we're anticipating being the stronger ones of the week for the IWFL. We put quite a bit of time in with the WFA there earlier in the show, but seems like the game to watch will be the Western Conference, the Pac Northwest, and the Pac Southwest. That's the Sacramento Sirens will be playing against the Portland Majestics. Is it the Portland Majestics? Anyway, that game, both teams 2-0, both Tier 1. That's going to look like a great game. Then we also have up in the Eastern Conference, the Mid-Atlantic Division, we've got the Nighthawks are playing the Passion. That looks like it's going to be a really strong game. In the Eastern Conference, again, one of the games that will be broadcast, the New York Sharks, and the they will be hosting the Militia. Both of those teams are 1-0, so far undefeated, both Tier 1 teams. That will be a really good game. Correction, that's the Seattle Majestics. Sorry about that. Thanks, DJ. We've got a lot of things going on here. I'm talking into the phone and reading the stats, and then BJ's giving me a little blitz on the chat room. So if you want the inside scoop, get onto that chat room, and then, boy, you know exactly what's going on and all the stuff that I'm getting wrong on our program here. But we'll just keep going. So there's one other game that we will have broadcast through the blog here. Let me see if I can find that. BJ, do you have that up there somewhere? Can you throw that on the screen again for me? Because I can't seem to find that part of the information. The Militia and the Sharks will be featured, and then I think it's the Divas versus the Divas and the Demolition. That's a Eastern Conference Mid-Atlantic division that will be playing. The Divas are 1-0. The Demolition are 1-1. The team that they won was against a Tier 2 team, so that will also be a really strong game. And the Militia, the Sharks, and let's see. Oh, I know. The other one that might be a pretty good game to watch in the Midwest Conference, the Western Conference, you've got the Force and the Vixen. I believe the Force will take that one. So we're going to be watching the Aftershock, wishing them the best against the Diamonds. If you're a Diamond fan, pretty much any team that goes against you is going to be an underdog, and if you root for the underdog, you guys are going to take the other side of it. So we're going to root for the Aftershock, anticipate maybe a win for the Diamonds. Between the Breakers and the Amazons, we're going to go with the Amazons. And then the other three games that I mentioned earlier. So that's pretty much the preview for football for this week. Tune in again next week, and we'll see what mischievousness we can get into. So appreciate you tuning in, and have a great week, and support women's football with every chance you get. Give them some love. Thanks for being a listener, and thanks for being a supporter of women's football.